Blog Talk Radio.
It has been a while since we got together for an edition of a Lion for Life podcast, but that doesn't mean there hasn't been a great deal of activity over at St. Vider High School, and today we're going to kind of catch up and find out a little bit about some things that have been happening and do a little forward looking as well. Hi, everybody. This is Jim Mitchell. Glad to be back with you. And not too long ago, we had kind of an introductory discussion about the counseling department at St. Vider, and today we're going to start to take a deeper look at one area of the counseling efforts, which is helping students prepare for college. And here to help me do that is the college counselor from St. Vider High School, Kelly Dutmers, who joins us for the first time, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So, Kelly, first of all, thanks for being here. It's great to talk to you.
Hi, Jim. Thanks. Thanks for having me be on the show today.
Yeah, this is going to be fun, and this is an area that is of interest to me. But give us a quick overview of your role and exactly what it is you do over in the counseling department.
Sure, Jim. So my role in the counseling department is to provide post-secondary counseling, more or less, to students as they plan for their career goals after their high school career at St. Vider. So ultimately, more often than not, this usually includes discussions specifically about college counseling, where over 95% of our student body every year matriculates to a four-year college or university. So this is a pretty high percentage that goes to a four-year university, and because of that, a large part of my role does include serving as the college expert for our community.
Now, you mentioned the number of students that go on to college. What about the services you provide? Does every student take advantage of that, or is it kind of an optional thing if they want to meet with you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I guess the answer would be yes and no. Yes, in the sense that our counseling department provides services for all students in terms of programming, for example. So before a student will get to me junior year, our school counselors do a wonderful job of having programming in place that is college preparatory in nature, whether it regards helping them with their four-year plans and explaining to them what a college is looking to see for admissions into their school. So if you really think about it in that sense, our students are given that message by their school counselor beginning freshman year. So we also have programs in place that are specifically college counseling related, in which all students will receive that programming. That can be, for example, with the Catholic College Fair that the students, all juniors, are attending in February of every single year of junior year. And so that is for all students. And then I go into the English classrooms where I prepare them on how to prepare themselves for the fair, as well as how to discern and narrow down the college search process leading up to the fair, as well as after the fair, you know, as they're continuing on with their college search process, how do they go about doing this? Then the optional part is making an appointment with me, but granted, as the college counselor, naturally, I think my role is somewhat important, so I would hope that all students would make an appointment with me. It's interesting, a lot of parents will comment that they have older children who have gone through the process, and sometimes because the student themselves is unique to the experience and their interests and goals are unique from their other, older children, that there's something unique that does come out of every single meeting, even though the parents have been through it before. So while it is optional, I do truly in my heart of hearts think all students should take advantage of those individual meetings.
Well, it's an overwhelming process, and you mentioned a few different checkpoints there. Or as we have this conversation, the seniors are all coming up on their final deadline to make their commitment in a few weeks. I'm sure many of them have already. But you mentioned juniors attending fairs. You mentioned even freshmen. When's a good time for students and their parents to really start thinking about college?
That's a great question, too, and I think as the college counselor, I can see on a given continuum that everyone starts kind of where they're at. Sometimes it's a matter of starting when you feel comfortable to even start thinking about the next step. And I think that in a student-centered sense, you know, that's going to be different. That answer is going to be different for each student, depending upon how ready they are for that thought of going to college. Sometimes the seed is planted early, and those students who are eager can start the process, honestly, freshman year. An example of that that would be appropriate for someone freshman year, for example, if a family is on vacation somewhere and they like the area and they happen to be around a college campus that they think is very interesting, why not go to the campus, take in an informational session and perhaps a campus tour? And in that sense, by the time the student is a junior and they have their appointment with me, when you have a sense of what different campuses are like, at the very sense you have this idea of what you do like in a campus and what you don't like at the very least, because now you have a point in with which you can compare and contrast, if that makes sense. So very least, a student, it will always benefit themselves by just exposure to a campus and just absorbing the information of what is out there. And over time, as a student's interests and goals and values become more solidified as they get older and mature, by the time they meet with me, they will be able to define that a little bit more clearly as a junior and or a senior year.
Well, I want to talk about that. You've mentioned a few times that meeting that juniors would have with you and the importance of that. But take us through that. When a student comes to see you for the first time at that junior year point, what are you doing with them? What is your process like? Do you have kind of a checklist, interview process, or how do you go about helping them on this path now?
Yes, all of the above almost. So prior to them having the appointment with me, I have a list of instructions for them to take a look at. I have them fill out two surveys for me. One is specifically for helping me prepare for my meeting. So it asks them certain questions about the college characteristics they're looking for. The more specific a student is with what they're looking for in a school, that will help guide me in terms of what list I come up with for them that meets that criteria. So that's one survey. The other survey that I have them fill out, as long as they're doing one survey, it's kind of like I try to catch them in one swoop in a sense. And the other survey is used for their teachers and their counselor to write their recommendation. So in strategizing during the meeting, and that's one of the things that we do during the meeting, we do talk about the components of a college application in which at a certain point of the meeting we'll talk about the recommendation. And a lot of times when we talk about the function of a teacher or counselor recommendation, especially the teacher recommendation, they'll kind of decide on the spot then, based upon our discussion, who they want to ask. And then as long as that survey is done, they can go right after our meeting and ask the teacher, which is great, because then it gives the instructor time to write the recommendation kind of on their terms, in a sense, versus asking for it in the fall. Everything is very accelerated in the fall when the peripheral items, you know, of the helpers helping the student, it can be accelerated in that sense. So it puts the student more in the driver's seat of owning the process starting junior year, even with the application. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, well, and you've mentioned the interaction with students, which obviously is your role there, but parents are very much a part of the process, we would hope, in all cases. Do you meet with parents? Are you accessible to parents as well?
Yes, of course. And I would say 99% of my college counseling meetings with juniors and or seniors, at least with regards to the traditional appointment that we have, is with parents and or guardians. And that's certainly encouraged. So in the instructions that I give to the parents and students when they make the appointment, they're encouraged to come. You know, certainly the student has their goals and what they are looking for with regards to the future, but obviously the parents are also going to know that student, their child, very well. And sometimes the student isn't able to extrapolate sometimes what they're looking for, but the parent knows them really well. So they're a great addition to the conversation and the fact that they're probably funding this next, you know, educational experience is also very important for them to be a part of the discussion as well.
Well, and it's interesting. There's a few points here I want to get to before we let you go today. But you mentioned some of the college fairs and things, and I'm for many years have been a volunteer for my alma mater, working at their table at some of the local college fairs. And one of the first things I do is I talk to the parents, because as you said, if it's the first child going through, sometimes it's the parents who have a lot more questions, you know, than the students. So mm-hmm. as they begin to do that, I mean, what's your best advice for parents who might be encountering college search, maybe for the first time, but I guess in any instance, but, you know, how should they go about it, and how should they work with their student to make the right choice?
Sure, that's a great question. So with regards to a fair, you know, certainly kind of going back to the fair that I've help the students prepare for at St. Vider, I give them a list of questions, really good questions, that some questions are pretty general, you know, asking facts about the school, and it's kind of like a starting point to just understand what the school offers to students. But then I give them other types of questions that help them discern other information about the school. And no matter what, I think that's a great starting point both for students and parents, is to come to a fair with a list of questions already prepared. Whether it's general questions that you can find either on the internet or the ones that I handed out to students in preparation for the Catholic College Fair, or even coming up as a family, having a discussion prior to the fair that they're all going to attend together, and coming up with a list of questions that specifically pertain to their, you know, goals and what they're looking at in a school. I think that's a great way to kind of strategize before you actually talk to the college. You know, and it's also fair game. If a person decides last minute to go to a fair and they're not necessarily prepared on what questions they want to ask, it's fair game to just ask the college, can you tell me a little bit about your institution and what you have to offer, and, you know, perhaps why would we be a good fit for you versus another institution, and then just let the college admissions officer talk about their school and try to pick up on some of those points that hopefully would be a good fit for the student.
And do those admissions officers still come and visit St. Vider? I mean, will they come and have certain days where university of whatever is on campus for a day to meet with students?
Yes, they do. Yes, I would say the heaviest time would be in the fall. And I think that's twofold, in the sense that the admissions officers are trying to recruit the students to apply in the fall, which is when the majority of our students do apply, is the fall, first semester instead of second semester. But then also thinking that juniors are starting this process and starting to think about things, it's not atypical then for a junior to go up to a college rep in the fall as well and start the process of fact gathering and absorbing the information as well. Now, however, we do have a few colleges that do make spring visits, but the majority of them prefer to make fall visits.
And I want to take a little broader view here, because as we had some prior conversations about the services offered by the counseling department in total, you know, one of the things that comes up today is, you know, the stress, the anxiety issues that students face, and many have at varying levels as they go through adolescence. You know, picking a college is certainly no small task as well. Is there a part of your job or your colleagues' jobs that kind of help families understand that while this is an important choice, we can reduce the stress of the process?
Yes, definitely. And I would say that, number one, I think when students come into my office and they have their meeting, I because it's brand new to them, you know, you can kind of tell by their body language, they're not sure what to expect, right? And so usually my meetings are not, you know, a period long, because we cover so much information. And part of it, too, is that I'm so passionate about my content area. We tend to have much longer meetings than what we scheduled for. But in a sense, that's what makes it so student-centered, is that, you know, there's so much to cover. But a part of this, you know, and I think that's what they walk in with, is thinking, okay, we're just going to talk about college. Like, we're only here to talk about college. And what they discover, and this is probably a huge part of my counseling background, even though my content is college, my background is in counseling, is that this discussion is really about the student. And the college portion is kind of what we end with, but a huge part of our overall conversation, which kind of going back to what you originally asked was, you know, what do I cover in my meetings? I start off with an activity where I ask them to discern different questions, which lead to what I call what I refer to as their narrative. And their narrative is so important to each component of the college application, right? And so that's the other thing, kind of going back to an earlier question you had, which was, I mentioned the two surveys that they fill out prior to my meeting, and new this year, the third step that the students look at, as well as the first and only step that the parents look at together, hopefully, is this flipped lesson video that I prepared as a way to engage students and parents prior to the meeting, as well as an idea of things to be aware of prior to our meeting so that they can come prepared with different questions. And so it's a 15-minute video where I talk about the components of an application. And so when they hear me talk in these 15 minutes and I talk about each of the components and the function of each of these components, then I start my meeting with, what is your story? And I explain to them, you know, your story is so essential to everything we're going to talk about for the rest of our time together. And so while we'll end with the college list, what's on their list and what's on my list, what came to that point in time was their story, right? And who they are, what they bring to the table, what their goals and aspirations are. And you know, the end result is finding a college that's a good fit, but you can't find a good fit unless you know who you are, and who you are is your story.
Well, what an amazing approach, and certainly one that I think would put families at ease to have it put in that perspective. And the thing that probably there's so much more we could talk about, but one of the things I guess we can't avoid and adds to the stress and the decision-making is, you know, finances and the college selection process. What should parents know about paying for college and what they should prepare for and what the resources are that they might be able to, you know, reach out to?
Yes, there are so many resources, I feel, that are out there. And, you know, when we talk about finding a good college fit, obviously that's another layer to consider, which is financing college. And I do explain during my meeting that, you know, there are different ways to finance college. Obviously, there's going to be the cost of attendance, right? But very rarely does somebody pay that, because there are ways of finding money that's typically free, or, you know, money that somebody has to pay back, which are loans. So I do go through that in my meeting. And I refer to, you know, in terms of the free money that is out there, the fact that there is merit scholarships, and I explain how that is typically based upon a student's GPA or test score. Sometimes it's holistically based, so going back to that narrative and what a student says about themselves can also factor into any kind of monies that they can receive as a package. Grant money, you know, that is allocated through need-based aid typically, and a lot of our parents think, well, you know, I'm probably not going to qualify. And I always say, you know what, in a given year, you never know what endowment money is just earmarked for something specific, and they just have to rationalize giving it away, so you have to go through the steps. But it's better to fill out the FAFSA and or the CSS profile to see if you qualify than not do it, and then potentially not get the money you could have qualified for. So I always recommend doing that. And then on top of that, the FAFSA will qualify a student sometimes for something called work study, which is where a student is a student employee at the university that they're attending, and they're working off that loan as it's being dispersed. And then it also qualifies them for Stafford loans, which is the loans from the federal government, which are the traditional loans that we refer to. And those would obviously have to be paid back. And then another source of funding that we talk about are private scholarships. And then in my conversation with them on our individual meeting, we talk about the different resources that they can look at for individual scholarships that they apply for. And another source for that not only would be companies or nonprofit organizations, but also the universities themselves. Sometimes they will have scholarships that students have to actively apply for, and that might be, you know, based upon an essay that they have to write or whatever it might be. And then last but not least, I always mention that there's something that the federal government has required each university to offer, which is something called the Net Price Calculator. The net price calculator is literally a calculator that is placed on each and every website of colleges and universities in our country. And I should say that not all calculators are the same. Some are
okay.
A little bit more robust than others. But point is that the student or families together will be entering in different data points, such as a cumulative GPA, perhaps an ACT score, perhaps some of their financial information, or how many students are currently enrolled in college of the dependents. And then that will guesstimate an award package based upon the cost of attendance, which the idea is to try to make the cost transparent prior to a student applying, which is really nice. And I wish that were a tool that would have been there when I was applying. It would have made things a bit more simple.
Well, things do change. And I have to say, our guest today, Kelly Dutmers of the counseling department at St. Vider High School, I know, Kelly, you've done a great job here trying to squeeze so much into just a brief conversation, and it's only scratching the surface. So I appreciate all the time you put into preparing and helping us here today. But before I let you go, because not everyone's going to absorb everything, and I know there's more we could talk about, but someone who's listening, someone who's in this position of having to start to think about it, what one or two things would you like them to walk away with and have a sense for as they perhaps begin the process now?
Sure. I think the thing that is probably the most surprising aspect from my meetings that students and parents will both actively reflect on and let me know about is the fact that it's not always about your GPA and your ACT score, which I hope is refreshing to know. A huge part of this is truly student-centered, and it is about their story and about what passions and interests they have. And so self-reflecting is key, and just being aware of all of the options that are out there and knowing that there are more doors that are open versus closed, and just knowing what options are out there. And I think a huge part of that in knowing who you are and self-reflecting does come from the overall services of my department as the counseling department. One of the biggest resources we do offer is career counseling, and in taking the career assessments that we offer on our software called Naviance Student is a huge portion of a student understanding, gee, what are my interests, what are my goals, and how does that connect to a career? And so having that career awareness does then translate to having a little bit more focus with college counseling. And so it's just this overall process, essentially, of engaging, having the students and the parents engage with our department and the programming that we offer, all of the presentations that we have to offer. Each component that we offer students and or parents is an integral part of this overall process that will help them.
Well, I can imagine that students are going to, as always, flock to you with questions, and it sounds like they're in great hands. So, Kelly Dutmers, thanks so much for joining us today. And I think this is a topic we'll want to talk about again, so we'll look forward to having future conversations with you. And we'll get this out so people can kind of take their time and listen. But very much appreciate your time. Thanks for being here. And, of course, all of you, thank you for listening. And look forward to sharing a future episode of A Line for Life podcast with you soon.